Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
on this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording.
Revelation chapter 9. Now you're going to be studying about the fifth trumpet that sounds. We've already seen four of the trumpets that sound, and this one being the fifth. There's so much going on with the sixth trumpet that sounds, we couldn't try to cover two of them in one day. So we'll give you as much as we can on this. That will be a help to you. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Ask God to guide us through this. Make sure that what's in here we get and understand it. All righty. Bobby, pray for us. Amen. Amen. All righty, Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And that's like me barbecuing. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was at the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And when you look at that, you don't know whether you're reading something that's true or whether you're reading some science fiction. I mean, that's a pretty wild description there of something that comes out of the bottomless pit. But let's do this. Let's study, and let's look at some cross-references and other things like that. And then when we're finished with that, then we'll know what we're looking at here, and we'll understand it. When this trumpet sounds, an angel opens the bottomless pit, and locusts come out that torment men on the earth for 5 months. That's what you've read about here. What we're going to do is go through this verse by verse, and we're going to look at the particulars. Now notice in verse 1, the fifth angel sounded. So there's seven angels, and each one sounds a trumpet. The first four angels have already sounded. Now this is the fifth angel, and he sounds a trumpet. So it's not one angel blowing seven different times. It's different angels each time. And what John sees when that trumpet is sounded, what John sees is he sees a star falling from heaven. But this star is going to be an angel. And I'll show you a couple of cross-references. Look in Revelation chapter 1. Oftentimes in the book of Revelation, a star and an angel are used interchangeably. Not always. But you'll see some evidence why this is an angel. First of all, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20. Notice, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are what? They're angels. And in this case, they're angels of the seven churches. All right? So there is a metaphor established immediately in the book of Revelation that in some cases stars are angels, and in that case in Revelation chapter 1 they were. Notice Revelation chapter 20. There's another time when in the book of Revelation there is an event involving the key of the bottomless pit. And notice what you see in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. I saw, not this time a star fall from heaven, but I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. So interchangeably, he sees a star that has the key of the bottomless pit, and he sees an angel that has the key of the bottomless pit. All right, so that's the second evidence, but then go back to Revelation chapter 9 and verse 1 and look at the third evidence. The fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. It's an angel. It's an angel. But that angel looks like a star. You're going to find this again in several other places, but in Revelation chapter 12, you're going to find the devil taking a third part of the stars of heaven with him, but those are going to be the angels of the devil that are going to fight against Michael and God and Jesus Christ and Gabriel and the other angels of the Lord. Okay? Now, he's given the key to the bottomless pit. You say, well, where in the world is the bottomless pit and why does it not have a bottom? Does it just mean you can drop something, it just keeps going and 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 never hits the bottom? What is this thing? Actually, the bottomless pit would have to be in the center of the earth for this thing to open and smoke to come out on the earth. It'd have to be inside the earth. And if it's in the very center of the earth, then it doesn't have any bottom. Right now, if you look up, you, from where you are right now, you say, I'm looking up, but if you were in China, you'd be looking down to see what you're seeing. All right? And so when you're in the very center of the earth, there really is no top or bottom. It's just whatever the inside of the thing is. Just as there really is no top and bottom. Now, honestly, when we talk about this building, the roof is on top and the foundation is below relative to the surface of the earth. The same would be true in China. However, in China, we would be totally upside down if you looked at this building from their perspective. You'd see the foundation on top and the top on the bottom from their perspective. But in the very center of the earth, you are now without a top or without a bottom. You thoroughly confused? That's where the bottomless pit is. All right, notice also in verse 1 that this key opens the pit. Look at verse 2. He opened the bottomless pit. Okay? And thus whatever is in it cannot get out unless it is let out. Whatever's in there is basically trapped in there until somebody opens it and lets it out. Or somebody opens it and puts it in. Look back again at Revelation chapter 20. And in Revelation chapter 20 you see a time when the devil, thank God, is thrown into the bottomless pit. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is called the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. So, in verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So somebody opens it up, throws him in there, locks it. Now he's shut up in there. 1,000 years later, he opens it up and lets him out. And while he's in there, he's in a chain. So that key opens and closes that pit. Well, during the tribulation, that pit's going to be opened. Verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. Well, you know, I guess the things that you have to compare around here would be these refineries when they're at times opening up some of those stacks, and I'm not sure what the process is and exactly how they do it, but there's sometimes when they'll open those things up and big, black, sooty smoke comes out of those stacks. All right? There'll be another time, if you've ever seen a building on fire, you'll get a real black sooty smoke as tar and all that other type of contents are burning and just, you know, literally blacks out things. Well, that's what happens here. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So what's happened is there's so much smoke coming out of that pit, boiling out of the inside of the earth when it opens. It's so thick and so plentiful that the sun is darkened and so is the air. Look in Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. I guess the greatest similitude that you have to anything like this right now is the explosion of a volcano that just it literally kind of clouds out the light, but this is going to be darker than that. Isaiah chapter 13, look at verse 9. Behold the day of the Lord, and what you're reading about here is what precedes the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation. It's also what you're reading about here in Isaiah chapter 13. Behold the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth. And the moon shall not cause her light to shine, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. So you see in Isaiah a prophecy of this thing, and then in the book of Revelation, John sees the vision of how God accomplishes the very thing that Isaiah prophesied. Look in Joel on your way back to the book of Revelation. You're in Isaiah. Then you go through Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, or Hosea, Joel. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, and look at verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. So Joel prophesied about the thing too and called it pillars of smoke and then become billowing out of that pit. Now in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 9, verse 3, when that smoke comes up, something comes out of the smoke. There came out of the smoke locust upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Well, tell me something about locusts and smoke. Does anybody know? If you said that locusts don't like smoke, then that's right. These then are very strange locusts, and since we already read this, you know they're strange because we've seen some of their physical characteristics. In the book of Revelation, you're going to find some matches to the plagues that took place in Egypt when Moses got the Jews out of there. We've already seen hail, and that was in the book of Exodus. And there were locusts that plagued Egypt back there, and they're here in the book of Revelation. However, there is quite a difference in these locusts and those locusts there. Those locusts destroyed green things. These locusts come to hurt men. Those locusts, you could actually start a fire in your vineyard and those locusts wouldn't land in there. These locusts come out of smoke. So you got quite a bit of a different thing here. These locusts are supernatural. Their power, as you see in verse 3, is the power of scorpions. In verse 5, at the end of verse 5, they strike men like scorpions do. And in verse 10, the power comes from the stings that are in their tail. And they use those tails to hurt men. That's a strange locust. But as we read the rest of the scripture, you're going to find out just how strange they are. Verse 4 of Revelation chapter 9, they don't hurt the earth. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Now, one of the reasons they don't hurt the grass and all that is that God is using hail and fire mingled with blood to deal with the green things. These locusts come simply to hurt men. And they have a time period. They're going to hurt men for 5 months, which is an interesting thing because that gives you an idea that when these trumpets are being sounded or when these seals are opening or when vials are being poured out later in the book of Revelation, there is actually a time period associated with the fulfillment of each one of those things that you're reading about. In other words, you read this, okay, the locusts come out. You think, well, that happens today, and tomorrow the next trumpet sounds and another thing happens. But this is a plague that lasts for 5 months before the next trumpet is going to sound. So it gives you some idea of the time element associated with some of these trumpets that are blowing. They're going to hurt men, according to verse 4, but not every man, only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. We'll go back to Revelation chapter 7 and notice the men that were sealed in their foreheads. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 3, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And here they are. The number of them that were sealed were 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 5, Judah, Reuben, and Gad, 12,000 of each of those. Verse 6, Asher, Naphtali, and Manasseh, 12,000 of each of those. Simeon, Levi, and Issachar, in verse 7, 12,000 of each of those. Verse 8, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin, 12,000 of each of those. 12 times 12,000, 144,000. As I said before, and say again, this verse you just read here in Revelation 9, verse 4 says, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads, those are not Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay? They're not Jehovah's Witnesses. Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Well, that's an interesting thing. That's an interesting thing. What happens here is then, how many of you ever been bit, or not bit, we say bit, but stung by a scorpion? How many of you that got stung by a scorpion liked it and would like to have some more of it? Have you been stung by things that inject proteins in you that cause a sting, like wasps and yellow jackets and bumblebees and those kind of things? How did the scorpion sting compare? Worse? Yeah. I've never been stung by one, but I've heard that it's worse. And I don't want to be stung by one. You're right. Absolutely. And so imagine that pain that you've experienced, and just about the time you're recovering, whap, you get stung again, and then you get stung again, or maybe you get stung 3, 4, 5 times at once, or maybe 100 times. You know, like these swarming, these army bees, what do they call, killer bees, Africanized bees. And so they come, like army bees. I didn't, you know, army worms, and killer bees, and I don't know, it all sounds like Hollywood sometimes, but imagine having like 100 of these things hit you, and you're just in excruciating pain. And you'd rather die. And you know, there are times when people honestly are going through physical pain and they would rather die than go through what they're going through. If you ever talk to some soldiers that have been wounded in war and the length of recovery from their wounds, some of them would probably say, if I'd known what it was going to be like, I'd rather have died than gone through that. My father, thankfully, stopped drinking when he was in the early 50s, but he had to go through that terrible delirium tremens, and he said to me years later, he said, that was so bad at the time I was going through that, I would rather have died than go through what I was going through. Now, I've never been in that kind of pain or in that kind of misery, but that's the kind of pain these guys are in. It's excruciating. They're tormented for 5 months. Verse 6, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Look in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 3, and notice that there comes a time when men seek death and not life. You know, when a person rejects the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's seeking death rather than life, but he doesn't know, many times he doesn't know or understand the condition. But in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 3, notice, "And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts." We've already seen that in the book of Revelation. There are some men, great men, rich men, kings, captains. They've rejected God during the opening of six seals, and when they know Jesus Christ is coming, and that heaven, that sky that's up there right now that doesn't allow you to see the stars, is rolled back where you can see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, they run for the hills and they cry to the rocks to fall on us so that the rocks will hide them from the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're so scared. Here, they're in such misery, they'd rather die. And the funny thing about it is, and it's not funny, they're trying to die. They're seeking death. And Dr. Kevorkian fails them. They can't die. Imagine being in the hospital under such pain, telling the nurse, "Shoot me up with enough morphine that'll kill me," and it doesn't work. It doesn't happen. Verse 7. Now we're going to get into further description of the locusts here. "The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle." Well, horses prepared unto battle are horses that are shielded. A lot of times they'll have a plate of armor or something across their chest, and in fact these do too, and you'll see that in here in just a second. But notice, they're like horses prepared unto battle. So here's this locust, looks like a horse, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. It doesn't say that they have crowns of gold, but what's on their head looks like or appears like, as it were, crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Look at verse 8. "And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates." There's that armor on the chest of the horse. Horses prepared unto battle. "As it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle." Verse 10, "And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and they had their power was to hurt men 5 months." So imagine what we've just read here, okay? I'll go through these with you, and just think about what I'm telling you when I tell you what you're seeing. These locusts have bodies of locusts, the shape of horses, the appearance of golden crowns on their heads, the faces of men, the hair of women, the teeth of lions, the appearance of iron breastplates, the tails of scorpions, the stingers of scorpions, and they make the noise of chariots when they fly. Undoubtedly, these are helicopters. You just flew in a helicopter to get your location. That's what they look like. They look just like that, don't they? Huh? You wouldn't have gotten that. Yeah. Boom, 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 like that. You know. Here, you want to fly with me? Well, you'd believe these were helicopters if you believed the scholars instead of the Bible. If you go to modern scholars' commentaries on the book of Revelation, they said, well, John didn't know how to describe a helicopter, and all he knew were various animal shapes, and this is the way he described it. You got to be smoking something to come to that conclusion. That's crazy. So if the thing has a crown of gold, okay, then maybe that's the, right? So what are you going to do with the hair? Get it tangled in the woof, 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 so the thing can't fly? I mean, listen, Hollywood is closer to the truth with their fictional mutations than unbelieving scholars are with their interpretations. And don't forget that. You know, people say, well, I got to go read and see what this is all about. You just read what it's all about. It's a locust. You know how big a locust is? About, I don't know, like that? And when you catch the thing, if you can't catch it in a net, ooh, let's look at it. You know, it's, hi-ho, silver, away. It's, thing looks like a horse. You pull it around expecting to see the big buggy eyes of a locust, and you see a face of a man. You go, that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Let me look at his teeth. Whoa, lion's teeth. Ah, you know. And then hair like a woman. I'll tell you what, honestly, if rock stars with their tattoos go any further down than they've already gone, they're going to end up looking just like these locusts. Seriously. Unfortunately, Bob Jones Sr. was right. Bob Jones Sr. said Hollywood has portrayed fiction as the truth for so long that when the truth appears, as it does here, men will regard it as fiction. What you just read about is the truth. That thing really exists. And it's under your feet right now. And thank God it is locked up with a key. And that by the time God decides to open that thing, you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you won't be here to get bit or stung. You'll be down looking at it, but you won't be in it. And thank God for that. I'll tell you what, if I wasn't saved and I read that was going to be here for people who weren't saved and that might happen real soon, I'd get saved. I don't want none of that. It's amazing that Hollywood dreams up all these strange mutations. And, of course, I haven't seen any of that. They came out with Transformer, anything from that on forward. I haven't seen, but sometimes you'll see previews or you'll be somewhere and TV will come on and you see that. And you see these wild-looking, crazy creatures. And you think, you know what, that's this. Somebody's plugged into hell and getting their visions about the creatures from the wrong source. It's crazy. Now, verse 11. These locusts have a king over them. That's a strange thing, too. That further confirms that these are supernatural and strange. I'll show you why. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Natural locusts that are created by God, the ones that you see around here. Proverbs chapter 30, and look at verse 27. What is their characteristic? Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 27, a God-made locust doesn't have a king. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands, as if they had a leader. These locusts, in Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, have a king over them. And the king they have over them is the angel of the bottomless pit. Now, how would you like that responsibility? Of all the things that you could be, you'd be the angel of the bottomless pit. Well, they've got a leader. And this leader, this angel of the bottomless pit, has a name. In Hebrew, if you were to see it written out in Hebrew, you couldn't pronounce it because you don't know how to pronounce the Hebrew radicals unless you know Hebrew or unless you've studied it. But if you transliterate what those Hebrew radicals look like, you would pronounce it Abaddon. And as I've said before, that dude is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. How many of y'all have marginal references in your Bible? Does anybody have a number by Apollyon give you a definition of the thing? Does it say a destroyer? Okay, a destroyer. Abaddon means destruction, and you wouldn't know this. However, you may have a cross-reference on that refers you to Job chapter 26, verse 6. And if it does, it just shows you that verse. I'll read it to you real quick. Job 26:6 says, it speaks of hell and it speaks of destruction. It's just letting you know, hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. Abaddon is the word translated destruction in Job 26:6. That's what it's letting you know. So those words mean destruction and a destroyer. The word Abaddon also means perdition. Perdition, which is like, you know, total loss and all that kind of stuff. And what I'll just give you a little glimpse. This angel that's over the bottomless pit is also a beast in Revelation 11:7 and Revelation 17:8. Look in Revelation 11:7. In Revelation 11:7, you have two witnesses that come to the earth to testify for 42 months. Verse 7, when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. All right, look in Revelation 17 at verse 8. Revelation chapter 17, look at verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into, what's that word? Perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. He comes out of the bottomless pit. He was and is not, which means at the time that John writes this, he's dead, and yet he is, which means at the time of the vision, he's back alive again. And you say, what is all that? Well, when we get to Revelation 11 and when we get to Revelation 17, we'll study it in more detail, but just to satisfy your curiosity, this angel of the bottomless pit, this beast that's down there that's going to come up and do all this stuff, this perdition at the end of the tribulation, is none other than Judas Iscariot. When Judas Iscariot died, and the Bible didn't say that he went to hell, the Bible says he went to his place in Acts chapter 1, verse 25. Well, his place is this pit. And he went down there, and he's being held there until a time when God brings him out, and the word that Abaddon and this perdition you see in Revelation 17, 8, that word is what ties together your cross references on Judas Iscariot. I'll just give you two references. Look in John chapter 17. And we'll see this again. Repetition is a good teacher. John chapter 17, Jesus Christ is praying in John chapter 17 to his Father. And he's talking about the men that were given to him and the fact that he didn't lose any of them. However, in John chapter 17, verse 12, he lost one, and look what he calls him. While I was with them in the world, John 17, 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus Christ said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? All right, that's that guy right there, called the son of perdition, and it's a reference to Judas Iscariot. And notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he is going to come back, and he is going to profess himself to be God. He's going to sit in the temple of God, and he's going to want to be worshipped as God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, notice the time frame has to do with the day of Christ at the end of verse 2. The day of Christ is at hand. Now 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this angel that's down in that pit is none other than Judas Iscariot, and he's given charge over funky locusts. Very mutated locusts. Okay? You know what I think? I think when Judas Iscariot comes out, and we'll talk about this more, I think his face is going to match the shroud. The shroud of Turin, you know that thing everybody says that's Jesus Christ on it? I think that's the. I think you're going to see when everybody's going to say, he's here, he's there. Look, it matches a perfect likeness. He's back. And they're going to follow him and right into perdition while they're getting stung to death by, or nearly to death, by locusts that look like horses with lion's teeth and women's hair, faces of men, with breastplates of iron. Not helicopters. Verse 12. One woe is past. Man, if that's not bad enough. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. How in the world could people continue to take it after something like that? But they do. They do. They just keep resisting God, and you'll see it when we start studying the next lesson.
You have been listening to an audio recording at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our church or our radio broadcast ministry, we have two websites that are available to help you. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. For rebroadcast of our radio messages, or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our radio listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you here. In the meantime, enjoy our audio sermons and radio broadcast online at either of our websites.